You know, this world can get tough, Ronnie. But that song says, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. Hallelujah. This world ain't going to last very much longer, people. But I sure am thankful there's another world prepared just for you and me. And I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It'll help you out. You say praise the Lord and amen every now and then. Make you feel better. Amen. All right. Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13, and we'll go a little bit through 14 this morning. Now you'll remember last week we talked about overcoming a few of our crippling emotions. So today we're going to go through part two and we're going to do the same thing. Talk about overcoming our crippling emotions today. So Numbers chapter number 13, and let me tell you a little bit about what's happening. It's a lot similar to our text last week in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. You'll remember that the children of Israel, they went into Egypt. There were 70 of them. 400 years passed by, and now there's about 1.2 to 1.5 million Jews living in the nation of Egypt. And you'll remember that they're slaves, right? God raises up a man named Moses. And through Moses, God would set the children of Israel free. And remember, He took them right directly through the Red Sea. And He brought them out into the wilderness. He took them to Mount Sinai. He gave them the law there in the book of Exodus. Well, here we find it's about a year later after they've been set free from Egyptian bondage. And you'll see in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they are literally coming to the bank of the promised land. They're literally at the promised land, the place that God had promised to give them. And we'll see by the end of our text, they're going to say no. That they don't want to go in. So Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1 is where we'll start this morning. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And you'll see verse 4 through 16, you will see men from the 12 tribes of Israel. So Moses sent 12 men from each tribe to go spy out the land of Canaan. Go down to verse 17. "Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So Moses sends 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. Verse 25 says this, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Keep reading to chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, look at what they said, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. God said, go take the promised land. By the end of the story, they said, let's go back to Egypt. So what did they do? They disobeyed God, didn't they? That's what happened here in our text. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. God, I thank You for each person that's made their way into Your house today. God, I pray that as Your Word goes out, I pray they wouldn't receive it as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. So God, I pray that You'll help us today. I realize I can't do anything without You. I can only reach eyes and ears, but the Holy Spirit of God can reach the spirit of man and the heart of man. So God, we need You today, and I pray that You'll give us help through Your Word. God, cleanse us of our sin and fill us with Your Spirit. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll remember last week we were talking about overcoming crippling emotions. Last week we started our series on that. You say, what does that mean? Do you ever feel like that you are being controlled by your emotions? When you're dealing with worry, your worry controls you. Your worry is something that you think about all day, every day. When anger consumes you, anger will certainly control you, won't it? It'll make you do things and say things that you wouldn't normally say. See, you and I have emotions sometimes that come and they control us. But did you know as Christians, God does not want our emotions to control us. We were supposed to control our emotions because He's given us the Holy Spirit of God to do just that. But you see, when our emotions control us, sometimes they lead to very bad consequences, as we saw last week. The people of Israel were given a promise to go into the promised land. And we saw that there were at least 603,550 men that were over the age of 20. By the end of the story, only two of them got to go in. That means 603,548 men over the age of 20 missed out on God's promises. Why? Because they let their emotions get in the way, remember? You see, the only people that were allowed to go into the promised land here in this generation was Joshua and Caleb. And you see, even Moses missed out, didn't he? Moses didn't get to go and inherit the promised land. Why? Because Moses had a problem with anger, didn't he? Moses struggled with anger issues. And at times in his life, Moses let anger control him rather than controlling his anger. And I hope this week, I'm sure as soon as you went out of church Sunday afternoon, the Lord tested you. Amen. Anybody get tested this week on if you'd get mad or not? Some of you failed. That's all right. That's why it's a new Sunday. All right, but today we see a very similar text. Only two men got to go into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. But why didn't the other men? For the very same reason. Because they let their emotions get in the way. Now, what emotion do we see this morning that got in the way? Fear. You see, these people feared the people of the land, and that's why they said, we are not going in. So last week we talked about overcoming our anger. This week we are going to talk about overcoming our fear. Overcoming our fear. Now, I already scared Miss Carol today. It's approaching Halloween week, isn't it? There is one word that's always associated with Halloween. Go ahead and tell me. Starts with an F. I'm just going to sit down. What is it? Thank you. Fear. Fear is associated with Halloween. I used to love scaring my brother nearly to death. He'd get scared over anything. But you know, on I think it's AMC, the American Movie Channel, if you have cable. They're showing something and they do it every single year called Fear Fest. I don't know if anybody in here likes scary movies. I know my wife don't. So I have to wait and watch them when she goes to sleep. But scary movies, then they call them Fear Fest, where 24/7, Brother Johnny, they show scary horror movies all day and all night. Some of you are already shaking your head. You can't stand them. Well, we got to watching one the other night. I just wanted to see how she'd react. And big old Michael Myers is his name. He got to coming up behind this girl, and he was just getting ready to take her out. And she's just standing here, and there he is behind her. And Monica says, "Why in the world ain't she turning around and running?" Well, I said, "Well, apparently she don't see him." Well, all of a sudden she turns around, and I'm thinking, "Boy, it's on now." And she looks up and she sees him, and she just stands there flat. And she says, "Run, run, run!" If you're like me and her, we like to talk to the TV when movies are on. Especially when sports are on. I talk to the TV all the time. And we start yelling, "Why aren't you running, girl? Run!" And I got to thinking about it. Why in the world didn't she run? Number one, because it's a movie. But number two, you know, there is a thing that doctors call paralyzing fear. Paralyzing fear. That if you are shot bad enough, your physical body will literally shut down. You won't be able to speak. You won't be able to scream. And you won't be able to move a muscle in your body. That is a real thing called paralyzing fear. I did it to my brother all the time. I'd scare him to death in the middle of the night and he'd just stop. He wouldn't be able to scream or nothing. Because that's something that's really, it's physically, if you get scared bad enough, you will physically not be able to move, scream, talk, or anything. And I got to thinking about that, Brother Johnny. That is a great illustration. Because the same way that fear paralyzes us physically is the same way if you let fear of something overtake you, it will paralyze you and I spiritually. Because you see, it did the exact same thing to these 10 spies here. They let fear overcome their mind. They let fear overcome their actions. And because of it, they were paralyzed into going into the promised land. They didn't get to go because fear had overtaken them. So today we'll see that fear prevented the Israelites from entering into the promised land. Now you remember last week when we talked about our anger. We talked about our anger and we said, not all anger is bad anger. Remember, I said there are a few things you ought to get mad about. Jesus got mad about some things in the Gospels. And there are a few things that you and I ought to get mad about. Well, it's the same thing with fear. There are some things that we should not fear. But there are some things that we should fear. Let me tell you one of them. A snake. You don't fear a snake? Well, that's all right. But I do. And I think it's a very good fear. But there are some things that you and I should fear. Now let me tell you the source of fear. Paul told Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when you are constantly fearful of something, that does not come from God. More than likely, it comes from the lies of the enemy to make you fear something that most of the time really isn't there. But fear, so the source of fear is not from God. Fear is something that you and I should not do. Over and over in the Old Testament, you'll see these two words put together. Fear not. God says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the righteousness of my right hand. Over and over in the Christmas story that we're approaching, as soon as the angel Gabriel showed up, usually the first two words that he said to the people were, fear not. In the book of Revelation, Jesus showed up to John, and John fell on his face as if he were dead. But you know what Jesus said? Fear not. So fear is something that God doesn't want us to do all the time. But there are some things that we should fear. Does anybody know one thing we should fear? God. The Bible says we should fear God. And you know, if you think about it, one of the biggest problems in America today is what Romans 3:18 says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Do you realize that that's probably the main problem with America, that nobody fears God anymore? So what does that mean? That means you go out in the middle of the street and what used to be called abominable, what used to be called wrong, people do it without absolutely any shame of doing it. Every single one of us in here is messed up. But there were some things that I messed up on that I didn't want other people to see because I was ashamed over it. But there are some things that happen today out in the street and nobody has any shame anymore over what they do. That's called having absolutely zero fear of God. And you and I as Christians are called to fear God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, to fear God. Now, to fear God does not mean you cower down and you're absolutely scared of our Father. So what does it mean to fear God? It means to have an honest respect and a reverent fear of God's presence that's always around, of God's power that is always powerful, and of God's person that is holy. You respect God because He's holy. You respect God because He's all-powerful. And you respect God because He's always around. To have a respect for God. And America has lost that. So there are some things that we should fear, including God. But I want you to see today that bad fear will cripple us. If we have bad fear, it will cripple us. Let me give you three things today, and we'll go eat. Number one, fear will bring discouragement, and we'll see that today in our text. Fear brings discouragement. Now, verse 3 tells you that Moses sent out 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, what were they supposed to spy out? Three things. Look at verse 18. Moses said, go look at the land, what it is, and the people. I want you to spy out the people that dwell in the land, whether they're strong or weak, whether they be few or many. So that's the first thing they were supposed to look at. The people, whether there was a lot, few, whether they be big, or whether they be small. The next thing in verse 19, they were supposed to spy out the cities. Look and see what kind of cities it is, whether they dwell in tents, whether they dwell in strongholds, whether there's big walls surrounding the cities or what. Third thing, they were supposed to look at the land. See if it's fruitful or see if it's not fruitful. So those are the three things that those 12 spies for 40 days were supposed to go look at and bring back word so that they might go in when they get back. So the people, the cities, and the land. Well, guess what? They come back in verse 27, they're giving the report. It says, and they told them and said, we came unto the land, and let me tell you about it. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They said, Moses, you told us to spy out the land. Man, the land is absolutely amazing. It is more fruitful than this wilderness. It is something that we need to see. But then the next verse says, but nevertheless, the people that dwell in the city, they're strong. They're some big dudes. The Bible says even that they are called giants. You say, what does that mean? Turn on ESPN. You'll see some of them. They play in the NBA. They're called giants. He said, the people there are absolutely huge, and the cities are walled. The cities are built up very high, and it'll be hard for us to get in. And Caleb comes in verse number 30. He said, yeah, every single bit of that is true. The land's good, the people are strong, the cities are walled, but when we have God on our side, we are well able to overcome this city. But then the people come back, and they look at Caleb like he's dumb. Say, we're not able to overcome those people. They are stronger than us. They are bigger than us. Verse 32 says they are men of a great stature. Verse 33 says they are literally giants. And in their sight, we look like little bitty grasshoppers. Now that's some big dudes if it makes you look like a grasshopper. But I want you to see that. So what did they fear? They didn't fear the cities. They didn't fear the land. What did they fear? The people. They feared the people of the land. Now, you want to see something interesting? Shake your head. Some of you may not, but shake your head anyway. Israel feared these people. You know what's interesting? The very people that Israel feared actually feared them. Did you know that? The very people that Israel feared actually feared them. You say, where do you see that? Let me read it for you in Joshua chapter number 2. Fast forward 40 years. Joshua says, I'm going to send two spies this time. Some of you may not have noticed that. Last time they sent 12. This time Joshua says, I'm not sending 12, I'm sending 2. Because last time only 2 came back with a good report. So I'm going to send 2 this time to the very same land. Come back and tell me what it's like. Well, remember they come to a harlot's house named what? Rahab. They come into Jericho and Rahab, the prostitute, is there. And those two spies of the Israelites come in and Rahab hides them on the roof because the king of Jericho is going to come and basically arrest them and probably kill them. So Rahab hides them. And Rahab says, I don't know where they went. They probably went that way. Go check on them. And they go out. And when they went out, Rahab brought them down. And Joshua 2, verse 9 says, Rahab said this, Rahab looked at him and said, I know that the Lord hath given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all of the inhabitants of this land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see what Rahab said? These are the very same people that Israel said, we're scared of them, we're not going in. Rahab said, the people of this land are terrified of you and your God. Do you see that? The very people Israel were scared of was actually scared of them because of the God that was on their side. You say, what does all that mean to me? Well, let me tell you something. Most of the time, the very single thing that you fear is absolutely terrified of you if you're a Christian, because you've got a God on your side who can split water. You've got a God on your side who can raise the dead. You've got a God on your side who can heal sickness with just one touch. The very things that you and I are scared of, more than likely, are scared of us because of the God that's on our side. I don't know what you're scared of today. It might be sickness, it might be disease, it might be cancer. But can I tell you, any time sickness and disease was in a room, when Jesus walked in, sickness had to go somewhere else. Because all Jesus did was spoke a word, laid a hand, and sickness went running. He said, I don't want anything to do with this Jesus. You might be scared of the devil of hell today, but can I tell you, when Jesus shows up, the devil is scared of Him. All the demons are scared of Jesus. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people today that fear death. But I sure am thankful today, when you have Jesus, death is afraid of you. Because Jesus went down to the grave for 3 days and He wrestled death, but you remember on that glorious Sunday morning, He beat death. He overcame death. So if you're scared of death today, you need to realize if you've got Jesus, it's scared of you. Because when death sees Jesus, it's got to go the other way. I don't know what you're scared of today. But when you and I have a God on our side who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always there, He's probably scared of you. And through His power, you can overcome whatever you are scared of and whatever you are fearful of today. The next thing that I want you to see, not only is that fear brings discouragement, but number two, fear brings deception. Fear brings deception. You say, what does that mean? Now, I know I'm not the only one in the church that's done this. You ever got scared in the middle of the night? Go ahead and raise your hand. And you hear something out the window, and you think it's somebody out there, and you open up the blinds. You say, honey, what is that? And you look, and you think it's some murderer out there just about to get you. And by the time you get downstairs and you look outside, it ain't nothing but a little twig. Yeah, that ever happened? You ever see something and you think it's something, but you get closer to it and it ain't that? I happens. You know, that's what darkness does. It does it to me. If I'm in the darkness, I think I see stuff and it ain't. It's something different. And you see, that's what fear makes you do. Fear makes you see things that aren't really there. Fear makes you see things that aren't really there. Most of our problems are the what ifs. What if this happens? What if this pain on the inside of me is this? What if this happens? What if that happens? Most of the time, the things that we fear, they aren't anything. And that's our worry too. We worry what will happen, not what is happening right now. But I want you to see that. Fear made these Israelites see something that really wasn't there. They said, listen, man, these dudes are huge. They are giants, and compared to them, we are this big. We look like grasshoppers. And he said, even to them we look like grasshoppers. Now that was a lie, because we saw they were scared of them. So I want you to think about that. Now, there's some people in here today who are small. If you came up and stood beside me, I'd be a little bit bigger than you. But you see, if you put your problem up against yourself, it's going to be stronger than you. if you put your problem up against your strength, it's going to be stronger than you. If you put your problem up against yourself, it's going to be bigger than you. And you see, that's what these spies did. They said they're stronger than us. They're more powerful than us. What did they do? They failed to put God in the equation. And you see, the reason we fear most of the time is because we fail to calculate God into that equation. Your fear is bigger than you. Your worry is stronger than you. But can I tell you what it's not? It ain't bigger than God, and it's not stronger than God. And that's why these spies said, we're not going in. It's bigger than us. It's stronger than us. And Caleb says, yes, but we've got a God on our side whose hand literally stretches out through the entire universe. And because He's on our side, we can do it. So when you fear, don't look at it as it's bigger than you. That's obvious. Start to add God into the equation. And you'll realize, listen, it's not bigger than God. Is anything too hard for God? The answer is no. And by the way, nothing's bigger than God either. Because He created everything. And if it's big, that means it's smaller than Him. So fear brings not only discouragement, fear brings deception. But number three, and this is the one that I really hope that God impresses on your heart the same way He did with me, is number three, fear brings disobedience. I said fear brings disobedience. Because God said in verse number 1 of chapter number 13, I am giving you this land. I'm giving this to you. This is yours if you'll just go take it. But by the end of the story in chapter 14, what did they say? Let's go back to Egypt. So what did they do? They disobeyed. Why did they disobey? One reason. Fear. Did you know you and I do the exact same thing? When God tells you you need to witness to your coworker, and you don't, why don't you? Fear. When God tells you you need to step out of out in faith and do something that might affect your finances, and you don't, why don't you? Fear. Most of the time, the reason we disobey God is because we fear. There are three main reasons I think people disobey God. Family. Because your family will hold you back if you're not careful. Finances and fear. Family, finances, and fear can hold us back from obeying God if we let it. I'll never forget the weeks that I was being called to preach, Brother Johnny. Every time I'd open up my Bible, I just wanted to read Psalm 23, Psalm 24. I just wanted to get something out of it. But every time I opened my Bible, the Holy Spirit was just right here saying, hey, I'm calling you to preach. Hey, I want you to preach. And I'm thinking, just go down for a minute. I don't want to do that. You know what popped up? The first thing, every time the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart that I needed to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first thing that came up was fear. I thought, what are these people going to think that I'm a preacher? How in the world am I going to make a living preaching the gospel? I was a business major. I was going in there to make some money. How in the world am I going to make a living preaching? And then the next thing was, how in the world am I going to find a pretty girl to marry a preacher? Praise God. God figured that out for me. I feared, what are these people going to think? How am I going to make a living? How am I going to find friends? When God was calling me to obey Him, it was just fear all around. And it held me back for a few days. But I'll never forget that Sunday morning I woke up. And I heard this quote from one of my favorite preachers. He said this, and it was speaking directly to me. He said, you might fear obeying God, but what you should fear is what you will miss if you don't. Did you hear that? You might fear obeying God, but what you should fear is what you will miss if you don't. Think about it. What did the children of Israel miss because they disobeyed God? They missed a land that flowed with milk and honey. They missed victory after victory after victory because they disobeyed God. Listen to me. They missed the very plan God had for their life because they disobeyed God. God had planned that land throughout their whole generation, and they disobeyed God, and they missed God's plan for their life. And that scared me half to death, Brother Johnny. When I thought I could miss the very life God plans for me if I say no? I want you to think about this. What would I have missed if I'd have said no? If I'd have said, God, I'd rather make some money and go into this business and just come home every night, be regular. If I'd have said no, you know what I'd have missed? I'd have never met this girl right here. Never. You know the only reason I met her? It's because I was preaching the gospel in a church in Lincoln. You know what I'd have missed? Every single one of you. I'd have never met you. Some of you might be happy for that. I'd have never met one person in here if I'd have disobeyed God. I'd have never got to do a wedding on Saturday. I'd have never got to lead a man to the Lord sitting in a prison cell. The first person I ever led to the Lord was a man sitting in a prison cell. If I'd have said no to God, I wouldn't have got to do that. Do you realize the things you're going to miss if you say no to God? It might be hard. As a matter of fact, it's going to be hard to say yes to God, to step out in faith. But if you say no, think about what you're going to miss. Think about what you will miss if you say no to God. The best thing to do is to trust God, obey God, and leave the rest to Him. Obey Him and let Him do the rest. And let me tell you something today. Somebody in here, you might have never received Christ as your Savior. You might have never. I can tell you one thing that's popping in your mind is fear. It's fear of what people might think of you. Stepping out and serving God in the place that He wants you to serve you. You're going to fear. What's going to happen? How am I going to make a living for my family? All this stuff. But if Christ is knocking on the door of your heart, there is one thing you are scared of, and that is to come down here and get saved. But I want you to think about something. If you don't accept Christ, what are you going to miss if you don't? You are going to miss a place that He's prepared for you in heaven. You will miss the greatest relationship you could ever have with Jesus Christ. You will miss so much if you just don't say yes. And you know what He does? He comes and He knocks. And so many people turn Him away. And I want you to think about what they miss when they turn Him away. What they miss when they turn Him away. You have family, you have grandchildren and children who Jesus might be knocking on the door of their heart and they've turned them away. Think about what they're going to miss when they turn them away. It's a scary thought because it ought to scare us what we will miss if we disobey God. The best thing for us to do is obey God and let Him do the rest. Trust Him, obey Him, and let Him do the rest. And if Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart this morning, don't think about how scary it's going to be to come down here. Think about what you will miss if you don't. Think about what you will miss if you don't. Musicians, you can come forth. I'm done. Everybody stand to their feet. God, we thank You today for just Your Word, Lord. And the Bible says that we can gain encouragement, exhortation, and God, that we can learn from the mistakes of other people in Your Word. And God, these people in our text today, they made a mistake to disobey You. And God, we fail You every day. We say no, but God, I pray that You'll help us as we go out into this world this week, God. There may be some things that You're calling these people to do right now. There may be somebody in here who's being called to preach the gospel and they're saying no, God. Help them to say yes. But God, most of all, if there's somebody in here that You're knocking on the door of their heart and they want to receive You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll say yes to You today. And it'll be the greatest decision they've ever made. Father, be with us. And if there's anybody today who wants to join our church, our doors are always open. God, we thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for showing us grace and mercy. And we love You in Jesus' name. Amen.